I've never watched E.T.
You've never what? Seen E.T. the movie?
I've never. No, it's like I look at that alien. I was like, I would not feel sorry for that alien if what? It showed up in my backyard.
All right. That's your homework for the week then.
Hey guys, if you enjoyed the last episode with our guest host Daniel Karros, aka Dan the Maker Man, sit back and get ready to enjoy the remainder of our time spent with Dan. As these things often go, we're going to veer off into many unrelated topics for some real conversation. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Instagram where we keep the conversation going after the show, but for now, get ready for what we are calling part two of episode 203.
That's funny. Do you guys remember Silverhawks?
Yes.
It's like hardly anybody ever brings up Silverhawks, man. But that I'm like Eloy. When it came, it's like after school, it's like I'm sitting down in front of the TV. I got to watch G.I. Joe, which I was like, all right, G.I. Joe, I got to watch it to the end because they're going to teach me a lesson. And I got to write that down so I remember so I can be, you know, a real American hero. And then you had like Silverhawks, Thundercats, Transformers. It's like you had this tremendous block of, you know,
oh my goodness, when you're a kid,
man, it was the best. I mean, it's like, this is the best. That's what you live for, man, the afternoon. And then Saturday, it's like you get all kinds of other stuff in there. But
if you woke up early in the morning, Dan, on Saturdays, I don't know if it was the same in Texas, but if you woke up like freaking before the sun was and you turn on that TV, that feeling like some, you know, you'd sleep in sometimes and on Saturday. And then, but if you managed to wake up like at the 6 o'clock and the cartoons began, they had Heathcliff to start it off. At least that's what I remember. And then they had a little bit of Justice League as well. And then they got into the whole what the main features was. But if you woke up early enough, you could start the day and run right up to 11 o'clock or whatever.
Wasn't it to like 11 or noon?
Right until 11 o'clock when, what was that, the heat of the night with
then they'd have Casey Kasem.
That was the show that...
Carol O'Connor,
yeah, the heat of the night. That's when you knew it was time to go outside.
No way, I thought wrestling came on, or was that the next day?
What? Wrestling on that early in the day?
No, like midday wrestling would come on, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Really?
Back in the day, like Hulk Hogan, Junkyard Dog, Jake the Snake,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
My damn father would put me in a scissor headlock and I'd panic and get all pissed off. Ah.
Yeah.
Who were the guys with the claw? Remember the claw? Those the God, what was the name? They grabbed, you know, the guy by the head, and it'd just be like his hand on his head, and you think he's doing like some brain suck, and the guy like, you know, collapsed to his knees because he's got like
the claw.
The claw, and it's like, dude, your hand is like probably the weakest, like it's like zero pain to the guy, but it's like the theatrics of it. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go practice the claw. Me and my brother be trying to claw each other. It's like, this is hard. It's not working.
Do you guys remember the Gorgeous Ladies of GLOW wrestling?
Gorgeous Ladies.
That was on that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That was actually a Saturday morning deal for a while, wasn't it?
I only ever saw it at night.
Yeah, it was late at night. Like,
maybe it was a rerun that came on at like 11 then.
Dude, that was awesome. Okay. For a little kid, you know, babes fighting it out. I was like, yeah. Oh man.
I had a tiny little TV in my room. It was like 5-inch screen. That's how old I am. It's like a 5-inch TV screen. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a small TV, not 5-inch. Where's my tape measure?
Are you talking now or when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, when GLOW wrestling was on.
All right.
GLOW's gonna come back in a big way. I saw my cousin was wearing a GLOW t-shirt the other day on her Instagram story, and I thought it was funny because Eloy had brought it up the other day again. GLOW, he talks about GLOW a lot. He's really,
yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, yeah,
that should come back. Someone needs to bring that back.
At the time, it was all that stuff was great at the time. It's just the feeling of being, you know, young, little, and having all this. I don't know. Do kids have that nowadays?
Like, no, they have internet now,
they can watch it whenever they want, man.
Got the internet.
Is it better, do you think?
It's different. I don't know if it's better. I remember being bored out of my skull when I was little a lot. Like, you know, so that's I mean, not that having the internet makes you not bored or fills that in, but I watched a lot of reruns. I watched a lot of the same episode of Heathcliff that I could have done anything else.
Heathcliff and the Junkyard Gang.
Yep.
Mongo
and
the others.
And lasagna.
You remember Mongo? He's a big gray cat. Oh,
lasagna's Garfield, man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't ever watch.
And Odie.
I watched the cool cartoons. Like Thundercats.
Oh, Thundercats was great, dude. Freaking awesome stuff.
I was Lionel, dude. I was born in August. I'm a Leo. I was like, boom, that show is about me. It's like, I am Lionel. Like Thundercats, ho.
And hey, the toys, too.
I'm totally going to change the subject real quick, but Eloy, are you still fingering E.T.?
it's on the workbench in the other room.
What?
What is going on here?
That was a drastic turn.
Eloy
made some wooden skull rings, and one looks like E.T.
This is graphic. I think that's why he was trying to phone home.
I've never watched E.T.
You've never seen E.T. the movie?
I've never. No, it's like I look at that alien, I was like, I would not feel sorry for that alien if it showed up in my backyard.
All right, that's your homework for the week then. Man, I watched E.T. I love that. I saw it in the movie theaters. I had the little toys. They like had all these like
you were Drew Barrymore. ETs.
Yeah, it was so ugly, dude.
Dude, come on.
That is an ugly alien.
No, you have to
trading cards. Remember back in the day when the movie would come out and then all the trading cards would come out?
Yes, I remember. I remember the commercials. The commercials and Reese's Pieces became a big thing because of that movie too.
Yeah. Yeah, Eminem's passed.
Yeah.
Eminem's got offered the role of the cannon. They're like, nah, we're gonna pass because the alien's ugly. And they went to Reese's Pieces. That is why they went to Reese's Pieces and they're like, yeah, sure, put them in there, give them the peanut butter.
It worked out well for everybody. All parties concerned, it seemed to work out well for.
Yeah.
So you refuse to watch the movie because you think the alien is ugly.
I think he has stock in Eminem Mars. He was like, oh no, I don't like the Reese's peanut butter platform.
Let me tell you, Reese's Pieces are the GoBots.
No. I prefer Reese's Pieces to Eminem.
What? I have a question I will propose. Did you ever hear the Mitch Hedberg about Reese's Pieces? He's like, shouldn't it be an apostrophe? He's like, aren't they owned by Reese? Shouldn't it be Reese's with an apostrophe?
That dude.
Mitch Hedberg, man.
Too bad. He died too young.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he went out at the appropriate time, just like...
You don't think he could have kept pulling off the one-liners?
No. No, I don't think he could do it. I think that's his lifestyle was... because of that.
What do you die of? Drugs?
Overdose.
What do you consider a good looking alien?
Yeah, like what you know.
I saw
like,
some aliens, man. Let's put them up. I'll rate them.
Like the worms and Men in Black? Are those sexy to you?
Does that do it for you?
the worms.
What about from the movie Alien?
That standalone.
With the other.
Dude, you got to admit.
Yeah, the Xenomorph. How's that for?
It's sexy a little hot. It's a little S&M. It's a little hot.
Okay. Right? How about the ones from Independence Day? Not into that. That doesn't do it for you.
Nah, they weren't really. Were they main character?
Main character.
How about Mars Attacks? Well, do you like that? Like those too veiny for you?
Is that the cartoon one?
No.
Was it animated? Mars Attacks? No.
Well, it's like. What was it?
Right, that was a CGI, animation. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Too veiny for you.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's a snippet that should come right out of the podcast by itself.
Is it too veiny for you? That should be the title.
Well, is it, Dan?
Yeah, I'd have to say yes. There's only, you have to have a ratio, you know, veiny to not veiny.
Oh, okay. That's it. I've like moratorium on veiny. That's it. Come up with a new word. To express yourselves.
I hate to go back again to the 80s, but it's never gonna stop.
But you live there. Don't lie, you don't hate going back to the 80s.
Well, I don't hate. So I want to know if you guys remember, and I know we touched upon this in a previous Scratched podcast, or I think we did, but I don't remember. if we did or not. Do you guys remember, those of you that were growing up in the 80s watching the, do you remember that movie, or that movie, that series, where it was aliens coming down and living amongst people? It was called V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reboot sucked, but the original was good.
How badass was it when that, I mean, they drank milk, or was it milk? Like they drank, they drank milk for the, like they didn't drink water, they drank milk, remember?
But didn't they eat people? Yeah. The food was the humans, right? That's why they were, that's why they landed here.
They were, their charade was that they were coming for water, but they were actually taking humans for food.
No, dude, it was milk. It was milk that they drank.
No,
I don't know about that.
They were reptilian, remember? They'd peel their face off and they were reptiles.
Yeah, I remember.
Freddy Krueger, man.
Robert Englund, yeah.
Am I confusing two different things then? Wasn't it milk that they drank? V.
You're thinking cats.
Cats. A very special engagement at the Winter Garden Theater.
No, I think that I'm going to correct this right now. I'm going to search this out.
No, V was one of those, came from that.
V was good, dude.
V came from that same episode where we talked about They Live. Are you sure you're not intertwining the two?
I'm going to find out now. I don't know.
This is another one of Pappy Escajedo's stories. Remember that time with the salt and peppers when we were out there in the peppermints?
Check this out on Reddit. On Reddit. I'm clicking Reddit.
That's a good place to go for information.
Yeah, we want a reliable website. Two sources, please.
I remember, here's the Reddit a question. I remember my dad watching a sci-fi show years back, which had aliens living on Earth along with you, with the human race. They had everyday jobs, but they were afraid of the ocean, and they drank sour milk. Does anyone know the title?
No, sour milk. That was something else.
And then one guy says, "Alien Nation, the newcomers would get drunk on sour milk."
Yeah. That's a different show, dude.
Was it?
That was the one where it's a cop. It's Bright. 1980, 1990. It's like, did you guys watch the Netflix movie Bright with Will Smith?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's same premise, right? But
yeah,
kind of. But aliens instead of elves.
Yep.
So I mixed the two up.
Yep.
Oh, that sucks.
You have crossed your references.
So it's Alien Nation.
Yeah, that was pretty good too, though. I remember.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's gritty cop kind of drama.
You don't remember it, but you remember it.
Now I remember it. I just watched a clip.
Just clearing things up there.
Alien Nation.
What year is this? I have nothing.
Nothing.
It's like late 80s, right?
88.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching that when I was 4 years old.
Over my 7-year-old head.
Yeah, because V the miniseries was like 83.
Past my bedtime.
You gotta. Yeah. I'm gonna link this to you guys. And if you watch the full, please, it's a short clip. Just watch how disturbing this is. Okay, please. Well, it will be worth it. A man. Well, there's an alien from that.
I want to click the link.
Don't do it.
If you just fast forward to the last scene, you'll see what I mean.
We'll watch that right after you go watch. What was it we needed Eloy to go watch?
John Wick.
John Wick. Seriously,
and all three Matrix movies.
Seriously, go to
and then you got to watch Point Break because Keanu.
Son of a gun! Yeah. Go to 410 of that clip that I just sent you, please.
Right now?
Yeah, like right now.
This is not making for good content.
Ah, you don't know that for a fact.
What? I don't even know where the link went.
God, no, that's horrible, Eli. No, yeah. See,
I don't know. It has sexy Eloy, or it has sexy Eloys, man. It has sexy aliens in it.
Freudian slip much?
It has an adult male alien giving birth to a small young
alien. You know, the thing about Alien Nation was like a TV show, and it was basically kind of the sequel to Enemy Mine, right?
I thought it was a movie. Didn't they make a movie first, and then they
that
came
was
out with
the movie was Enemy Mine. where the human and the alien were stranded on a planet, and they hated each other.
Yeah,
they ended up bonding, and then the one dude ended up having a baby, and the human said, "Oh, I'll take care of your baby," and then Eloy fell in love with this sexy alien baby.
Yeah, I remember that guy that I've seen that video. I've seen that before. That was on TV. Was that on the USA Network? That looked like something that came on when wrestling was over. Like, that would come on. I'd be like, all right, well, time to go to bed. Or like, I got to watch some reruns of some black and white stuff on Nick at Night because this is ridiculous.
The Day the Earth Stood Still. Is that your kind of sexy alien lingerie, Dan?
Well, is that the one with Keanu? Keanu's in one of those, right?
Oh, see, that's, the alien? That's probably the remake.
Yeah, is Keanu's the remake? A man.
So you must be a big Bill and Ted fan.
Yeah, Bill and Ted was awesome. I liked the first one. Second one, not so much.
Yeah.
They're rebooting that too. Journey? Say again?
So you're not a fan of The Bogus Journey?
No. I remember really liking the first one.
This is news to me. They're rebooting Bill and Ted?
Yeah, I heard that.
Really? Who's Bill and Ted?
I don't know. They're supposed to be bringing them back.
Would it be great if it was Keanu?
It's going to be the same actors 50 years later or however many years later. They're not going to reboot it with new people.
That's what I heard. I don't know about the new. I don't know if they're going to really like recast new people or just.
Oh, wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if they Grand Moff Tarkin'd George Carlin into it? Gave him, you know what I mean? If they gave him the Polar Express treatment and just kind of CG'd him in there.
So when they did that, did they get like a voice actor for the voice, or did they like redo the voice with a computer too?
Who's that, Grand Moff?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I'm sure it was all, they took a bit of him talking in the first one and
just remastered it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how. I do know, like I said, it looked a little bit off.
Yeah, it's that uncanny valley thing they talk about.
Well, you look sparkly.
Yeah.
There's just no way to get around the sparkles.
It's creepy, man.
It is creepy. I don't like it. I don't like that, and I don't like when they make people young like they do now in like all the Marvel movies when they did it to
Kurt Russell. Tron.
Yeah, they did it to Kurt Russell in the second Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
They made him like 18 again. Nah, I don't like that. They did it to RDJ in one of those, and
did it look fake to you, or
no? It looks too real.
Really?
Yeah, especially the Guardians of the Galaxy. The Guardians of the Galaxy look really good for Kurt Russell.
When they go young, I don't like it. It's too fake. Like, you don't trust your eyes.
Who wasn't in Tron? Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dude.
Darkness swashed over the dude.
That movie's overrated.
No. Edit. Point of edit. We're not going to get into this late in the podcast. I fight everything you say with my dying breath. I will defend that movie.
It is a little overrated, though. Come on.
All right, this is dude cast.
Mark, what's overrated? There.
He said nothing happens. Nothing good happens after 10:09.
I can't believe it. These guys are calling The Big Lebowski overrated. I don't have enough time.
I saw Dan on this podcast telling him it wouldn't run over an hour. Right. I think I might have lied.
You can get two podcasts out of it now.
Well, close.
We have to cut things to you know,
to make it good.
Yeah. Someone used F words.
So I said a bad word, but Dan did say shit here and there.
I haven't been cutting those out.
Bleep it, man. I love hearing the bleeps because then I get to make up my own words when I hear the podcast. Ooh. I just like put in stuff like random.
It's actually worse when you do a bleep. I've never, the censoring thing, I understand, but at the same time, when you bleep out a word, it actually points it out to the listener or viewer, and it emphasizes that as opposed to it being a natural thing. So I've never understood the whole censoring thing in that respect.
Well, yeah, of course, you're the one dropping F-bombs.
Guilty. So
you wouldn't get it.
Guilty.
I'm just glad it's not me this time. Usually it's always me.
So you haven't dropped one yet, have you?
Nope.
If you beep it, do you still have to put that it's explicit, or do you get the pass on the explicit?
I can still keep it at public for all.
We need to come up with a good bleep. We need to have our own custom.
Like that freaking Auga horn?
Yeah, Ooh. Something like that.
But good, not the Auga horn there.
Yeah, the whole thing about this, Dan, is that, you know, we have to be natural. So wherever the conversation goes, it goes and redirects. What's that?
We're going back into the be natural speech.
And the redirects can be redirects, like what Bales just did. It's all part of the thing, because without that, without it being natural, it becomes, you know.
Who's doing the river dance on their keyboard?
Yeah,
it's not a podcast without Vigo tap dancing a little bit.
Is that Vigo?
That's my dog. I'm sorry.
I thought that was somebody giving the keyboard to Liberace.
That's what I thought.
Let your fingers do the walk.
Man, you ever heard of toenail trimmers? Jeez.
Poor Viggy needs a belt sander.
God.
So what he does is he goes under the chair and he props up his butt and he rubs back and forth on it. So it's like his little back scratcher. And so he's doing the little tap dance.
And then he dances a jig back to his bed.
And then he goes back to his bed.
Nah, we're just happy he's happy.
I still think that he just lays over there and just stares at you while you're doing this, wondering what you're doing.
Who's he talking to, right?
He's talking at a screen.
He's like, yep, I don't want to go outside or nothing. That's fine. Just talk. Keep talking to the computer.
Yeah, is your dog an extension of you? Like, is he like paranoid about the stuff outside the gate? And
yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Dogs take on the same, or at least in this case, because, you know, he's with me all the time. He takes on the same suspicions and all that, for sure.
He goes outside, other dogs come by. He's like, it's just really important that when we're walking down the street that we're very natural and we don't make it seem like we're being forced to walk down the street.
Hey, dude, let me tell you something. Okay, so people are freaking dangerous. This world that we live in, this is a dangerous world. People don't assume that you the way so you guys would not like do anything nasty to someone unless they did it to you. Like, there's rules that we abide by. Well, most people I've come to learn in the past 5-6 years, and I've always been a believer in the good nature of people, and I always all my life. Well, don't discount the ability for people to completely lack those things that you find that are normal, like, you know, respecting a person, you know, not wanting to do something nasty. There's a lot of bad people out there, and I've come extremely aware of it on a personal level. So yes, I am completely not trusting of the outside world. Yes.
I feel this is like the first step in many steps which end up with you living in a cave.
If I could, there's nothing to stop me, but I would live completely away from humanity, except for a store maybe 20 miles away and some little population, something like where Ryan lives.
Make room, Elon. How many bedrooms is your house, Ryan? You got a spare?
No, he can sleep with the dog.
Oh, well, weren't you
putting in a fence or something? Yeah. He does fence work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a little too cold for you, Eloy.
Well, listen. I am totally a subtropical, you know, I've grown up in Florida, but I would definitely like to be away from people. No joke. I'm not even, like, seriously.
I can get on board with that. I don't like people.
I like certain people.
Well, I don't like a lot of people.
The general population, I'm not a fan of.
Like, dude, here's the thing. I can't step out of my house into my yard without having some person interject their bull crap into my existence. I just want to go and do my thing and be left the hell alone. And there's always some freaking asshat, you know, in the way.
And, off my lawn.
Well, yeah, dude, it's too much, dude. It's too much. It's too much.
Bales, how do you feel about people? You're a performer, right? So, I mean, you do live gigs and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is funny. I'm an introvert, but yeah, I do perform. But I'm behind a drum kit, so I feel like I'm shielded.
That's literally a line from Clerks, isn't it? It's like, but you hate people. Yeah, but I love gatherings.
That's interesting, man. I've heard you mention that sort of before, that you're not a fan of like people, but you know, you still get up there and you do your thing for what, about 45 minutes or an hour?
No, these cover gigs are three sets. So 3 45 to 50 minute sets.
Wow. Holy crap, dude.
But yeah, so I'll interact with, you know, the band members and some crowd people between breaks, but yeah, I'll try to find a corner that I'm just can be left alone.
Yeah,
I'll interact with people and I'll be like engaged, but you can see when I just glaze over, when I shut off, when I've had enough. I just, it's like, you know, the robot goes to sleep. I'm like, I can't get out of here soon enough. When I've had enough of human interaction,
So you like, you'll do it, but you don't enjoy it.
I like playing. I just don't like talking to the people.
It's far, but you'll talk to the people. You just,
It's
just not your thing.
Yeah.
Doc, what about you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
What about me?
Do you like people?
Yes.
Doc reminds me that he doesn't know a stranger. You know what I mean?
Doc is like the human Shaggy to me. Oh. You're like Shaggy, dude.
Oh, wonderful. Like Zoinks.
So, Doc, you have no issue.
Oh, no, I have all those issues. I do. They're deep rooted. But you and I had this conversation once before, Eli, where because of the age of my children or whatever, I feel I have to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just for him, for their sake. Like, I have to teach them that you have to be leery of what's going on in every situation. But at the same time, like, if you can't trust humanity, and we're not trying to trust humanity, and that's not what we're going for, then what are we trying to do?
No.
Like, but I think it's a horrible thing to implant in them. It's just to, you know, like I said, it's not, you don't have to go and trust your fellow man off the bat, you know, make sure things are straight. But at the same time, like, you want to approach people in a certain way. And if your goal is to get along, then that's, you should try to get along.
So my method is adverse to that, where I say everybody sucks until they prove you otherwise.
Oh, really? Wow.
I might be telling them that, like, you know, that's not the rule. But like I said, what I try to tell them is be leery of what's going on, but, you know, greet it with a smile.
Dude, I'm
just trying to live like that. But at the same time, what you're telling me is going on in your life isn't what's going on in my life.
Right.
I can go outside my house without people busting my coonions. So.
No. I look, not everybody is in the same place with the circumstances and whatnot. But so I was taught to be incredibly respectful of people. Like my folks, knowing, you know, the balance of things, they decided to teach me like if we were in the 1800s or something. So if you go someplace and you're offered a drink of water, as a very, you know, simple example, don't even, you always say no thank you, like, you know, but like to extreme and just so many things. So to trust, you know, look towards the good nature of people. Well, I found that those days are over, and at least here in this general vicinity, you could travel 50, 60, 100 miles and it's kind of the same thing. People are screwed. This major city stuff sucks. major cities suck. Suck. Totally. Too much stress, high volume, in and out, bad service, bad everything. And I'm not even, you would think that I'm jaded, but I would bet that if you spent the time in this area, you would say, damn, Eloy, you know what? Okay. It's too much.
Judging by the things that you've told me, it seems that you're right where you need to be, you know, and we'd be having, well, I'd leave. To be honest with you, the conversations you and I have wouldn't be last as long, because I literally would get to a point where I would just be shaking in the corner, be like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to do something.
I feel like we should leave a Yelp review for the entire city of Miami.
Yeah. If it was if it was fight or flight, like, I'd be gone.
You know how sometimes they throw a newspaper, like a free one? I don't know if they do that in your hometowns. Well, here it's not one. My whole freaking outside of the gate is full of, like, it's like not one. Here's a newspaper to try out. It's like 20 newspapers, and one night they come out and like vying for your cash. Well, guess what? You can pile up the newspapers as far as you want. I'm not buying. I'm a buy what I want to buy. Your input is not occurring. It's not going to come. No. So, yeah, I'm pretty not happy with it. The situation. Yeah, this is too crowded, dude. Too crowded.
Right, but you're talking about people in a large, like a group of people. I try not to. Now, if you have to say any one of these random people you come into contact with, and you have to wait in the office of a, you're getting dental work done, and you're just with Joe Rando sitting next to you, are you gonna sit there and be hard the whole time, like, you know, just not talk to him, or did something break the ice? You know, you get what I'm saying here? What, like, in a one-on-one interaction, do you still take that attitude toward it?
No, I on a one-on-one, I always try to. Well, first of all, if I can avoid a conversation, I kind of will. But if I can't, I'll always try to be kind and polite. But I'm sort of like giving you the overview of what I see that occurs. It's just there's too many people, too much frustration with the hustle and bustle, people driving to and fro, just, you know, trying to earn a buck, the tension, the rudeness. You buy something, there's no thank you. It's like, get the hell out of here. You know, just a million things that I could tell you. A million things. So big cities tend to become, or I'm assuming here, but I don't know if New York is, you know, similar in that respect or not, or Philadelphia or whatever. But too much. I lean more towards the peaceful, you know, sort of nothing around for miles and miles, kind of like Ryan's area.
The caves.
There's no cave flat.
In the Badlands of Ohio.
How does Dan feel about that? How does he see all that people? And
he's in Texas, man. They're all sprawled out. He don't have that problem.
It's funny because, I mean, Houston is the fourth largest city, right? But man, every city's got its own personality, and a lot of people. I think you come to Texas and you're not going to find a jerk. You know, most of the time, if you're a stranger, you come up to somebody, it's like, you know, you need help, they'll help you out. The best example of that, and in my mind, recent history is with Harvey, right? You had people helping each other out, and you guys that were in other parts of the country saw bits and pieces of what was going on the news, but it was like literally 24/7 news coverage. I mean, they gave like on the primetime channels, right? The ABC, CBS, NBC is just nonstop news coverage about everything that's going on with Harvey and as it was raining and flooding and all that. And it was incredible, man. The amount of people are like, I'm okay. I've got a boat. The people 10 miles away are, you know, stuck in their homes and can't get out. I'm going to hook up my boat and go over there. Nobody's going to tell me to do it. Nobody's asking me to do it. I'm going to go do it. And that didn't just happen once, man. It happened literally easily 100 times, 1,000 times. I mean, just 3 miles away from where I live, we didn't flood. We had no issues here. I mean, the water started coming up the street and we got a little nervous. You know, we had a little puckering there, but luckily that the rain calmed down that night. And then after that, we got rain the next day, but it wasn't bad. Anyways, about 3.5 miles away from us, another neighborhood got flooded. It's like you pull into the subdivision, which is surreal because you pull in and there's, you know, waist deep water. And it's like there's usually a street there and it's like a huge 4-lane street that you know, pulls into that's the main avenue. You pull off of that road into the neighborhood. So that's got waist deep water when you go in. And the further in you go, the deeper the water gets. And there's some parts that are less deep than others. There was a whole crew there of people just with whatever they had. They had blow up inflatables. They had, you know, canoes, everything. And they were just trying to get people out of their homes. It's like, all right, you know, your house is flooded. Let's get you out. And there was no official there. There was no cops there. Eventually cops showed up and all they did was direct traffic because you had literally, you know, half the street was blocked with cars, you know, with boats and stuff like that. Just people helping out. There's a guy that lives in my neighborhood that he's got a moving company. He's got a huge, big diesel truck, you know, moving truck. He took it over there. And it's like, he told me after the fact, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, man, I just, you know, I needed to do something to help those people. I was good. My family was good. We're safe. We went. And to me, man, that's kind of like what it's the soul of the city, right? I mean, that's the people that live there make it up. And I live on the outskirts of the city. I mean, I'm technically in another town named Richmond. If you ever come out here, and it's kind of like any major city, you know, you'll drive 30 miles and you've already been through three towns, but you're still technically in Houston, right? I mean, you pass Katy, you pass Fulcher, but as far as you know, you're in Houston because there's no like huge break in the land. It's just, I mean, there's just, you know, businesses, homes, everything. You can't tell. But even, I mean, out here, it's the same. I mean, you go into the city, it's the same situation. You had people in apartments that were stuck. You know, the city couldn't get to them. I mean, the city officials were like, they're tapped out, dude. I mean, their resources were spread all over the city and they're trying to get help to as many people as they could. But it's kind of like you go somewhere and you're going to be there for the day is what it was. And they, even after the rain stopped, like the next day, it's like stuff starts coming downstream and then you figure out, oh, crap, you know what? There's a little bayou over there that I forgot was there. That's been there for, you know, ever. That's now filling up with water and it's going to start overflowing. Eventually floods the houses. So it was just, I mean, it was, to me, that showed me, okay, I would like to think that other cities would do the same thing. But I don't know that they would, right? I mean, hopefully nobody's ever got to be put in that situation. But to me, that kind of showed me the type of people that live here, right? Which the good far outweigh the bad. And I kind of have that perspective, man. And you can call it foolhardy or whatever, but I would rather believe in the good in a person before the bad. Obviously, there's people, and you see a guy coming down the road, you know, smoking a crack pipe. You obviously know it's probably not the best individual in the world to loan money to, right?
That happens a lot.
All the time.
Yeah, Joe crack pipe.
It's a nice thing that you're saying, and honestly, in a situation where, so you know, human beings have that sort of duality of the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and you would think that most people would go to help. So these things are in every human, but in reference to the constant daily. So when there's not a critical situation, how is the behavior? When the situation isn't life and death critical, how are people behaving? What do you see? You know, and what I see is, well, a little bit of everything. It's true, to be perfectly honest, but I've been burned a lot, man. And when you get burned a lot, believing the way you have mentioned and getting burned in severe ways, you have to think, should I stop thinking this way, put it on pause, or do I keep going, you know? And I chose to say, whoa, uh-uh. So I put, you know, talk to the hand, you know, a lot, because there's just so much one can take, man. And that might exclude a lot of people that aren't, like, you know, out to screw your shit up. Oops, beep. But just the same, you know, that's so if it's not life and death, how do people act in your area?
I can tell you, man, I don't know. Everybody around here says please and thank you and how you doing. And
not here.
I mean, you go to.
Not here. I'm telling you, not here.
Do y'all have Chick-fil-A's there?
We do. They say thank you there, incidentally.
Okay. So every Chick-fil-A I've ever been to in Texas, you pull up and you say, you know, you wait for them to come out. They always say, hi, my name is Dan. How may I help you today? And then they go through the whole spiel. And then, you know, your total is $9.07. And you say, thank you. And they say, my pleasure serving you, or my pleasure.
We'll never hear it here unless it's Chick-fil-A. You will never hear that in Miami. I mean, you might. It's like winning the lottery.
So here's a funny thing, right? So that's a Chick-fil-A thing where they train their people to do that, which is, you know, it's forced, but the kids do it anyways. And it adds to the experience. So here's a funny thing in my area. So it's a lot of families. You've got this, you've got McDonald's, right? McDonald's doesn't train to do that. That's not that they, you know, it's $9.07, pull up at the window and pay me. But what I've noticed is that the kids at these McDonald's are starting to do the same thing. They say, it's my pleasure serving you, my pleasure, please pull up. Which is like, where's that come from? Is that from, you know, them going to Chick-fil-A and hearing it? And it just sticks in their head and they do it? I don't know. And maybe it's just my little area where I live. I mean, we've got everything around us that we need, really. I mean, it's kind of, Houston's a big city, man, and we're spread out. So, and it's even out here in the west side, it's the most, one of the more populated and parts of the city that keeps growing because a lot of people keep moving out here. And I mean, everything we need out here, I'd never have to really go into Houston. Every once in a while, we'll go into Houston and get stuff, but it's like everything's out here too. It's a, like I tell you, if you were to come out here and drive around, you wouldn't know that you're in a different city. It's like, there's Katy right down the road. And it's like, it's just, you're driving. No, now you're in Katy. You don't know it. It's just part of the road, you know? But I don't know, man. I think Houston is, I don't know if it's part of the whole South thing where people are pleasant and nice. And I mean, I've got good neighbors help me out when I need help. I loaned my neighbor my ladder the other day. He kept it for a while because he's looking for LED light bulbs. And I know the struggle, you know, when it comes to getting light bulbs.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had it for like a week or two. I didn't care, man. I was like, you know, I know he's a good guy. It's not like he's going to take it. And it's like, oh, I guess it's his now, you know? Hey, you know, and it's like, oh man, yeah, I got some, I need to put some mulch out on my yard. Can I borrow your wheelbarrow? Yeah, man, go ahead. It's like, hey, I'm going out of town. Down
the ladder and finds it in a pawn shop a week later.
Yeah. I mean, that, stuff like that. I have my neighbor that lives right across the street from me. I never talk to him. I know his name. He's a nice guy. We wave at each other. The guy tells me this past Christmas, hey man, he comes over to the garage. He's like, I need to ask for a huge favor. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, what's up? So I've got this plants out here. I'm going to be going to Philadelphia. And would you mind just like covering them up if it gets really cold, right? Because we don't know what the weather's going to do out here. It's like everywhere, right? It's 80 degrees one day, 30 degrees the next. But this plant was very cold sensitive. And he's from India, and this plant comes from India. It's for their curry spices. It's curry plants, what he called it. And he's like, would you mind taking care of it? And I was like, no, man, not all. I was like, what do you need me to do? And he's like, well, come over here, check it out. And he had built like a little cage for it. And he had a tarp that you could roll on to, you know, to cover it from the wind and all that stuff. Gives me the key to his backyard. He's like, you know, just if you can do that. And he's like, gave me his phone number. It's like, if you have any problems or anything like that, you know, just text me. It's like, all right, sure. And the guy was gone for a week or two, and
I would not take the keys, because that's any excuse. Something goes wrong, all of a sudden, boom.
In all fairness, in Miami, if they were having you babysit a plant, it probably wouldn't be a curry plant.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know, man. It sounds like you're in a bad situation, in a bad spot.
I think everybody in our community has tried to get him to move out of Miami. He is firmly planted.
Yeah.
Well, he's great. He's starting to thrive in it now.
Well, no, I've been here all my life.
Run for office. No,
yeah, but now you're like, you're
change. You're, be the change you want to be. Or what is it?
No. He's going full emperor now. He's good. He's on the other side now. He's outside. He used to be the guy, oh, everything's all right, it's gonna get better. And now people are like, that guy's mean. I tried to give him a newspaper and he flipped out.
You know what's funny? You were saying about the newspaper thing. So like, there's a lady that throws the ads, you know. I've seen her in a minivan. And actually, we want the ads, because it's like, otherwise, you know, we have to go to, there's like three grocery stores around here. It's like, and we shop at all of them. So if there's like a good deal on whatever, blueberries or whatever, we want to know. And they used to send them in the mail. They stopped doing that. So the only way you get them is in the freaking packet, right? So one day I'm mowing the yard in the front and I see her driving by. That's when I first saw her. I was like, oh, it's a lady. Cool. You know, she's flinging them. And she gets to my yard and she skips it. And I was like, oh, I guess she skipped it because I was out there mowing the lawn. And ever since that day, she hasn't dropped off. She hasn't thrown one of the packets, man. And I'm like, but I want the packet. It's like, do I need to put a sign on the yard? Like, please throw packet here. Packets are
appreciated. That's funny.
And it's like, I don't know. Maybe I gave her the unintentional stink eye or something. I mean, I just looked over. It's like, oh, cool. She's throwing packets. I didn't care. But everybody else in the driveway's got the white, you know, plastic bag with the advertisements in it, except mine. She doesn't throw it in the yard anymore. Yeah.
So I just got to sit out there at 5 o'clock in the morning in a chair and just sit there. Give him the stink eye. Yeah.
Give him the stink eye.
I don't want any freaking propaganda from anyone. I don't want any. Look, I don't want advertise. I don't want nothing. Like,
says the guy that makes YouTube videos with ads on it.
Right, but I don't want it coming to my house. If so it's my fault if I watch a video, but. I don't want anything. I don't want nothing, dude. Nothing. It's like, disappear, please.
You got to buy some rural land, dude. Go to the country, get out.
Yeah. If he sold his two houses down there, he'd come up here and buy like seven of them.
Is that two houses on one lot, Eloy? Yeah. Or is it a double lot?
No, it's one lot.
Maybe. So it's like a main house and an in-law?
Yeah.
Okay.
You and V should go on a road trip. You should figure out where you want to live.
Texas, dude. Yeah. Everybody likes Texas.
I
want to go somewhere where
Austin. You'd love Austin. It's all about music down there. Well, it might be a little bit too liberal for you, but
stay out of Massachusetts.
Stay out of Massachusetts. Yeah. So Austin, I think there's too many people, but compared to Miami, it's probably nothing. Right?
Yeah. More people, but there's more land, dude.
Yeah, I've always thought maybe something like Tennessee, something like that, you know.
Yeah, it's still hot. Still give you some sweat on the undercarriage that you like.
Yeah, that's just enough. I was going to say, you're always welcome Pennsylvania if you want.
Yeah, too cold.
Oh, but, you know, I felt bad because everyone else offered, so I just didn't want to be the only one that was like, I really hope he doesn't move here.
I have a friend that moved to Texas in 2014, and he and his wife and now child, his kid was born there since they moved. And he loves it. He says, I'll always love, you know, Florida and the Everglades and this and that. But he totally loves where he's at. And he lives outside of Austin.
Yeah. Austin's expensive though, man. Cause there's a lot of money in Austin, and Austin is a lot more scenic. There's a lot more, there's hills. Like Houston is just flat pretty much. That's why it floods.
Got to pay extra for those hills, Eloy.
I want a little bit of hills, you know?
Well, you can go further out and it's still hill country.
Look at your stomach.
Oh, that's a mountain.
Man, come on.
That's
trying to bring the guy up, man, not down. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, look, I'm just sharing my experience, and I, honest to goodness, I'm telling you, I could tell you some stories, but I don't want to go there, to be honest with you. I could tell you some stories that would actually like piss you off probably if you heard these stories.
Are these going to be like diners, drive-ins and dives type stories?
Well,
I want to hear those.
Flavortown.
Yeah. Flavortown. You're the mayor of Flavortown.
That's icky.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, you know what's funny, man? It's like I've been to New York a few times, Manhattan, and you hear all these stories about, oh, New Yorkers, they don't care, and they're so, you know, rude and this and that. Dude, everybody I ran into in New York was fabulous. It's like
that's inside New York. Dan, where you run into that attitude is when you find those people outside of the city.
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I mean, we roamed around middle of the night. Well, it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We were lost. It's like, okay, we got to ask somebody, like, where do we go? Because we have no clue where we are. People coming down the block. It's like, they're going to a different club than we were going to. It's like, hey, look, man, we're from out of town. We have no idea where we are. We're trying to get here. And they're like, oh, where y'all from? Oh, we're from Texas. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, man, this and that. It's like, oh, y'all want to come to the club with us? It's like, what kind of, you know, where's the club? Where's it at? Oh, it's this new hip hop club. Now it's like, no, not really. These guys are like, let's go hang out. And it's like, you know, they're all about it. And it's like, no, we can't. We got a meeting in the morning. And they're like, all right, you know, well, here's what you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. And then we're on our way. I don't know, man. Dun, 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 dun.
You don't remember Police Academy?
I do. I'm right with you. Dan was like, I don't want to go to the Blue Oyster Bar.
You don't remember Police Academy?
I mean, that was a long time ago. And there's like 9 of them in there.
Yeah, they were all wonderful. That's your homework, right? Stop. Pause it, Dan. Watch all 9 of them.
Citizens on Patrol. I remember that. I thought that was the most clever thing ever when I was a kid. I was like, it spells cops. COP, Citizens on Patrol. I was like, that's so smart.
Hey, you know, earlier I think it was with Doc that we were talking. I don't know who it was, but do you guys have any, you're going to have to bleep this out, any shit stories, like bad accidents that have occurred to you?
Is this, you're trying to get the shit story out of me? Like the one that you had, the one episode where y'all did? You had the guy in the boat, Ryan.
Do remember Eloy's now after you. We had talked about this last night in another hangout.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Eloy's was the guy in the boat that kept clawing his way to the front. Like, I got to go to the bathroom.
I got a quick one. Okay. You want to put this in? I don't know if we're still like, I don't know. You guys edit it however you want. But I don't want to be like, oh, when I was in a band, you know, I don't want to be that guy when I was in the army. But. Dude, a lot of crazy stuff happens to you when you're in the army. It's kind of like, cause you're just like, these are not normal circumstances, right? You wouldn't normally operate in these conditions. But anyways, the poop story to keep it clean.
And so that's hard to do. Considering the topic.
There's the triple entendre, folks. So I told every, you it was so every, happen and it, there it was. It just happened.
So every guest host we have on has to tell their.
Everybody's got one, dude.
Oh, here we are.
So I'll go back to the army days when I was at one point we had to go to Kuwait. This was after the war, so it was like no immediate danger, but we had to go to Kuwait for a training mission. It was a 60-day training mission. We had just gotten back from a previous training mission. They told us clean all your stuff and you're going somewhere, and it was like the first time they didn't tell us where we were going. We're like, oh crap, it's like we're getting deployed. And I was in Germany at the time. That's where I was stationed. And we're like, man, we're all worried. We're freaking out. It's like, where are we going to go? It's like, then, you know, you're getting like piecemeal details. And it's like, oh, you're going to be there for wherever we're going there for 60 days. And you can't call home and tell them you're going somewhere because it's top secret or whatever. And we're like, oh, crap. And it's good. You know, it's going down. It's like, this is it. To make a long story long, we ended up, okay, we find out we're going to Kuwait because they ended up giving us, they had to assign us the desert camouflage, you know, it looks like cookie dough. That's what they used to call it back in the day, right? So you needed to get that camouflage. It's like, all right, so obviously we're not going anywhere green. And so it became apparent we're going to Kuwait. So we get all our stuff, we go to Kuwait, we got our new cookie dough uniforms on. And we get there at night, and they're like, we're going to go get our vehicles and we're going to drive straight out to the desert. I'm like, okay. It's like, so we get the vehicles and drive straight out to the desert. Fun fact, people in Kuwait at night don't drive with their lights on if they're street lights. I don't know why, but it was like the weirdest thing in the world. So anyways, we get out there. And then they start to say, okay, so we're going to be here for a training mission. We're going to do, you know, desert style training for you guys. They're like, okay, you know, no actual mission. It's just another training mission, but we're going to be out in the desert for 50 days, you know, straight. It's like, okay, crap. Any other time we've done training, it's been 2 weeks at a time, you know, 3 weeks at the most. So, you know, you go 2 weeks without a shower, 3 weeks without a shower, not too bad. But this time they're like, yeah, you're going to be in the desert. So it's like, all right, crap. So we go out there and we set up, you know, our little kind of a camp, you call our perimeter, and everything's going pretty well. You kind of get settled in and in the routine of different stuff you're doing, a lot of different training missions. Everything's going all right. And then all of a sudden, man, you know, you start hearing the rumors going around camp that, like, yeah, there's a bug. There's a stomach bug out there that's just tearing people up. And they started calling it a Hussein's revenge, like Montezuma's revenge. Right. And, man, people were like having uncontrollable fits where they would just crap themselves, right? Because it would just hit them and their stomach would just like release. And
wow.
Yeah, it was messed up. So everybody's like freaking out, like, man, it's not like, oh, let me bust out the hand. There's no hand sanitizer. This is before hand sanitizer was a thing. You know, you're out there, you're filthy because you've been out there for a while. So you can only keep so clean. And this one that I remember, man, it was not me. And I actually lucked out. I had like a gurgly stomach for like a day or two, but I never had the just uncontrollable stuff, right? But the uncontrollable stuff was happening on a regular basis. And you're just like, are we sweating because it's hot? And then this is just making it worse. It's an added pressure. Like, man, when's it going to hit? When's it going to hit? Because usually, you know, sickness just spreads like crazy through troops. I mean, it just... because you're in such close quarters. I mean, y'all get stuck into the back of there's this thing called a Bradley. It's like a tank that holds people and it's super tight quarters. So it's like, you know, there's germs just everywhere. But so anyways, just one day we're just hanging out. We're kind of waiting to figure out what we're going to do. And the Corps of Engineers had built some latrines where they had like basically outhouses that they had built in the center so that people would stop crapping in the desert and just, you know, you have a place to actually use the restroom. And all of a sudden, man, like when it was at its height, the whole Hussein's revenge, you would see people like running, just booking it for the outhouse, right? For the latrine. And you're like, oh man, they're gonna make it. And then they just stop and just like put their head down.
Oh man.
And it was just like, they didn't, you know, they didn't make it.
So what happens? Continue. I wanted to ask you, what happens if there's no showers? And go ahead.
So you do the best you can cleaning yourself up. And usually guys are like, I'm taking an extra pair of pants, or I'm taking we had like the equivalent of gym shorts, you know, that they would take with them, like just in case when they're like hustling to the restroom. You'd see like toilet paper in one hand, and their gray little, you know, PE shorts in their other hand, and they'd be booking it. And then you see, yeah, they wouldn't make it. Some would make it, some wouldn't. And then they'd come out, and of course they'd be wearing like the cookie cutter or the cookie dough uniform top with like shorts and boots, which is like, they looked ridiculous, right? But then, you know, poor guy crapped himself. So we're out there. There's no washing machines. You got a pant load full of literally crap. It's like you can't. There's no way to clean it. So what do you do? So that a lot of guys started burning it. That's part of the. That was one of the kind of the chores, the dudes that you had to do, right? You had to had like 55-gallon drums that they cut in a third, and that was what was the receiver in the latrine, right? They had like the latrine had a back door. These would slide underneath. That's where your crap would fall. And eventually, if you got, you know, that duty that day, you'd have to literally duty. You'd have to take out. You'd have to take out the fire, the drum, and you pour. I heard different things. Some people say just pour diesel on it. Some would be like, no, it's got to be a special like diesel slash oil mix to get the crap to burn. And then you would burn it and you'd stir it with like a fence post. It would get crusty, it would dry, so you had to mix it up to get it to evaporate off, right? And you had to just keep pouring like this stuff on it to keep it burning. And what the guys would do with like that would had the crappy uniforms would throw them in there and just, you know, it would burn it, right? So that's not to add insult to injury. It's okay when you're done with all the training, now you got to turn all these uniforms back in. So guess what? You're two pants shy. So now you got to pay for the pants because you lost them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was that was one of those times, man, when I was just like, man, so anything weird in your stomach was like, uh-oh. It's like, just, you know, you got to get ready to launch and get to the crapper as quick as you could.
So yeah, one of the life skills that people learned in the Army was how to stir crap.
Yeah, and it was weird. It's one of those weird things, man. It's like nobody tells you about that kind of stuff, right? When you first sign up. And then it's the messed up thing is that it's like this big plume of black smoke in the desert, and it's a desert, so it carries. And I'll never forget how that smells. It's just like, you know, you could be like miles away and not even see the fire. And it's like, oh, they're burning crap now because I can smell it. It's like, you know, you're however many miles away you are. It was just like, it was one of those not fun tasks. I mean, there's.
So do you like since you've been in the Army, do you ever smell that?
I've never smelt it.
Not like, would that be life. Like almost like a flashback? Like if you were like walking down the street and you smell that, you'd be like, you know.
Yeah. And it make me wonder what the hell, why is somebody burning their crap?
It is funny though, because one of the things from your story, Dan, that kind of struck with me is I've worked on a lot of construction sites different times, and the same thing, you see a guy take off, you know, from across the construction site heading for the Port of John, and it's the same thing, is he gonna make it? But the thing about your story was it's the dead stop when they know dead stop, and then they head down for a minute, and it's just, oh man, you know, I think two times for sure I can remember, like, you know, seeing a guy make a break for it and someone, like, you know, we'd be on shovels and oh, there he goes, oh man, there he goes, oh, now way better, you know, situation than yours, because we weren't far from plumbing, or you could get in your car and just drive home and take care of yourself. But yeah,
it's still bad.
It's still the head down. It's just that moment, yeah. The dead stop of,
stuff I'll never forget, man. That was it. I can still picture it to this day. It's like seeing them booking it. It's like they're gonna make it. And it's like you're hoping for them, man, because it's like, you know, it's, and it was painful, man. These guys are like hurting, getting cramps and stuff like that. I don't have no idea what it was. I mean, it's not like anybody's like, oh, let me go to the doctor and find out exactly what's wrong with us. It's just like, oh, it'll pass eventually once it gets through everybody's system.
But two questions for you on that. So how about if a guy, as opposed to going to the latrine, is said, screw it, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to take my dump right freaking here on this sand mound right now. Done. What would happen to that soldier if he did that? All he has to do is cover it up.
Yeah, I mean, before the latrines were there, that's what you're doing. You'd go walk out as far as you can. See, that's the thing, man. It's like when you're in the woods, it's like hey, man, I'm going to go take a crap. See you in a few, right? So you take your shovel, you take your toilet paper, and you go. You find a nice tree, you know, you dig your hole, you do your business, boom. There's supposed to be a code, which this was somewhat followed. Some people didn't. It's like whenever you take a crap by a tree, you're supposed to get some toilet paper and leave it hanging out, like, you know, as like somebody crapped there, so don't go sitting by that tree.
Right.
But not everybody did that. I come to find out one time, not personally, but somebody else told me. But when you're in the desert, I mean, you can literally see for miles, dude, in every direction. I mean, 360, it's like, so people to walk out as far as you can, and it's like, you're yelling at, like, we can still see you. It's like,
that's hilarious.
At that point, you're like, whatever, you know, it's like, it's all dudes. The modesty's long gone.
Well, how about this? So here's the second question, because I'm totally like wondering. So once they crap their pants, and that stuff is spreading and flopping in there, and it's like all over your skin.
Flopping.
So once you get rid of the pants, you got stuff on you that might be like, I mean, it's all over. So how did they remove that stuff? I mean, do they have water tanks?
We have water. Yeah. That's one thing where like the army always took care of you in terms of like hydration and stuff like that. So like when we were out in the desert, we would just get regular drops. 18 words would come by just full of water, pallets full of water. And they would just drop a pallet of water like every 200 feet or something like that. And within the little camp that we had. So, I mean, you're just, you know, a few yards away from grabbing a bunch of water. And it was like the liter bottles of water. Dude, I would go through 5 liters of water in a day, like nothing. And pee like once. Because it's just like, it's so damn hot and you're just sweating. Wow. Yeah, it was hot. So I was driving a Humvee. That was my last turn at driving a Humvee. And what was messed up is that, like, we would get the weather report in the morning, right, via the radio. It's like you had the command center be like, oh, today's, you know, weather's going to be blah, 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 blah. So it's going to be, like, on the thermometer, it's going to say 110 degrees. But then with the humidity, because Kuwait's right by the ocean. I mean, it's, man, a few kilometers, I think it was maybe 50 kilometers away from the ocean or something like that. So it's, like, crazy humid, which was weird because it's, like, you're out in the desert and it's humid. And, but they would say the feels like was going to be like 125 degrees and you're wearing long sleeve. You're wearing a t-shirt, right? You're wearing a long sleeve overcoat. You're wearing your pants. You're wearing full like wool-ish socks and boots. And you got gear on most of the time. And that was like the big struggle where they kept telling everybody, you need to keep your gear on. You need to keep your gear on. Because they wanted you to simulate, like, you know, you're in a war environment. If you're in a war environment, you're not going to take off all your gear. So it's freaking hot, dude. And like I said, the mess up thing is that they would tell everybody, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's only going to be 110 degrees today. It's like, no, bullshit. It's going to be 125 degrees. It's like, that's what it's going to feel like.
That's and, crazy.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. It's kind of one of the reasons why I got out, because I knew that because I had a radio next to me, but you know, I'm one of maybe four people that have a radio next to them. The rest of them didn't. So everybody's like, oh, it's 110 degrees. That's not too bad. It's hot, but it's like not, you know, it's livable. But yeah, stuff like that. It's like, you know, if they're keeping that from you, what else are they keeping from you? And what else, you know, let's say that, you know, we go into a war situation. What kind of stuff are they going to be keeping from you that, you know, for your, that they feel is in your best interest, right?
That's insane, dude. I mean, wow. That's all I got to say about that. It's like, damn.
No, well, I started getting on these army stories, but again, Kuwait. So I found out because I'm driving everywhere. In the desert alone, I logged 5,000 miles in 50 days. Okay. In a Humvee, and this is mostly off-road, just driving around in the desert at like 25 miles an hour. I was driving all the damn time. I'd be driving in the middle of the night. I actually fell asleep one time when I was driving in the middle of the night. We're supposed to wear night vision goggles, right? And
did that help you? Did that help you go to sleep? You're like, this is great.
It totally did, man. Because it's like, I used to, when it was like a full moon, I could drive without them because I could see. But when it was overcast, it would block the moonlight. So you couldn't see. So you need to put on the night vision goggles. And it was like, probably like 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd come from this meeting. I used to drive for what was called the first sergeant. He's like the CEO for the enlisted men, right? He's the top dog for the enlisted men. I was his driver, and he's supposed to keep me awake while I'm driving, right? So that's like kind of the thing at night. It's like we're supposed to look out for one another. And man, but I'd just been up for so long. I put those night vision goggles on, man, and you're driving. It's kind of, it's not a road. It's not paved. It's just like, that's where everybody's been driving. So it's somewhat compacted, and that's where the road is, you know? And during the day, it's no problem. But at night, you got to kind of keep an eye on it because, you know, it's like, it all looks the same. It's all that greenish kind of hue, you know, that you see on TV.
Oh yeah. I can picture it. You're looking at the same thing constantly for hours. Yeah, and
dude,
hours.
It's like a dream. I literally just like, I don't even remember doing it. Next thing I know, I just remember like I'm in the Humvee and my head is just like bouncing around. And I'm like, it woke me up and I'm in the middle of the desert, but don't know where I'm at. And we didn't have GPS back then. And I was like, oh crap, I got off the road and I don't know where the hell I am. There's no like.
Wait a second. So you're like, you were on the road and since it all looks the same anyhow, you just fell asleep and it just kept driving off the road. And
there's the desert. So I didn't hit anything. I mean, there's nothing to hit. It's just like wherever once you get off the road, it gets lumpy. And the first sergeant, he fell asleep too. He was already knocked out, which I didn't know. He told me later. And he's like, you know, we could both get in trouble if this gets out. And I was like, really? And he's the one that told me, like, yeah, I'm supposed to keep you awake, you know, in these types of situations. Like, oh, well, I was like, I won't tell if you won't tell. And it's like, okay, well, how are we going to get back to
that? You just did.
Yeah. the what do they call that? I can't remember the term for that. Anyways, we just ended up like looking around with the night vision's real sensitive to any light.
The Statue of Limitations.
Else. There you go. Statue of Limitations is long gone. And we just stopped and we started looking around and got out and see if we could see any light. And went off in the distance, man, I saw like the little tiny light. And I told him, I see something. I was like, yeah, I see it. I was like, that's what I'm going to head for. And just started driving. It was like off-road, you know, in the desert, going real slow because I wasn't sure what was out there. And eventually it starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter. It turns out it was somebody's battalion camp that was set up, and luckily they had a fuel truck there too because I was running low on fuel. So we're like, oh yeah, we're just looking for a fuel truck, you know, trying to play it off like we're not lost. And once we saw that, it's like we kind of got an idea where we were. We got our bearings and then fueled up and then got back on, found the road and got back to our camp. But
so you guys played it cool. We're just
Plus, it's nighttime. It's like they can't really see your face. I mean, they can't see your name tags or anything like that. So, we weren't worried about it. And it's kind of like one of those things that it would have been dumb for him to own up to it and twice as dumb for me to do it.
Yeah. Wow. You want to know what the worst part about the whole thing was, Eloy? When he would wake up in the morning, there'd be like 20 newspapers. Right outside.
Like how we went 2.5 hours almost, and Eloy's like 10 feet from his mic now. No laundry baffle is going to help that.
I'm enjoying the. I mean, we've never heard these things from Dan the Maker, man. So I'm like, yeah, dude. Hell yeah. We got poop stories, and we got the freaking, you know, his vehicle swerving off as he's falling asleep with his Star Wars goggles on. That's perfect.
If we do one where we don't record, I'll tell you some more interesting ones.
Oh, this is but now the public is going to, our hundreds of thousands of fans are going to be.
Hit us up on our Patreon page.
Right. You donate to our GoFundMe, we'll get more Dan the Maker Man stories.
Yeah, we're going to kickstart stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do want to hear a poop story from Bales.
I don't have one.
No, dude. There's no way that you've never pooped your pants.
Nope. Notice Dan didn't tell a story where he pooped his pants.
I never have, dude. I tell you what, that's about as close as I came when that sickness was going around. Because it's like, man, there's some times where the stomach's just like rumbling. It's like, oh man, it's like not today, death, not today.
You've never farted and then charted at least.
No.
Nope. Bull crap. I'm calling. Okay, Doc, have you farted and then sharted?
I'm sure I have, but that's a story for another podcast.
That's the closest, at least. That's the most sincere That's the step in the right direction.
Is that for our sister podcast, Sharded?
Yeah.
Yeah, with no E. Sharded with no E.
I'm telling you, dude. I mean, we need to get to the nitty gritty. Bales, please. Come on.
Nope.
Oh, well, crap.
Hey, guys. Before you go, make sure you check us out on Facebook and Instagram so we can keep these conversations going. We appreciate you listening, and we'll be back next week with more Scratched.